For our third 20-minute message this morning, it's good to have Brother Dale Milstead, pastor of St. Mark Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina. I love Brother Dale. He's a blessing. He's a friend to camp meeting, he and his family. And I appreciate his faithfulness to the Lord. And he's a brother. And I appreciate him. I want you to hear him gladly this morning as he preaches to us what God's laid on his heart. Amen. I love you, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity God's given us to be at this place today. I'm excited today that I have my wonderful, beautiful, intelligent wife with me today. And I get it right, honey? We've been married for 44 years, 6 months and 4 days. And I thank the Lord. Doesn't seem like 44 years and 6 months. Just seems like it was 44 years. But anyway, it's good to be here. I thank the Lord for camp meeting. I appreciate what goes on here at camp meeting. I appreciate Brother Mattoon and his kindness to our family. And he published the story about our granddaughter and her faith to pray. And God answered prayer. And then he has encouraged her to pray more. I thank the Lord for that. And we're grateful for the privilege God's given us. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. And if you can remember, you know the last time I preached here, I preached out of the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. And I preached on the thought, it ain't about the wall. Brother Steve called me as I was leaving last night and said, you're preaching tomorrow. I said, well, thank God. And then I went home, and that'll mess up a night's sleep, I'll tell you that right now. And I think I got in bed between 3:30 and 4 this morning. And like most of you preachers, I started thumbing through some of those juicy ones I like. And I thought, well, I'll preach one of them. God said no. Don't you like it when God says no? And then God led my heart in this direction. God help us. You pray for us today. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, the Bible said, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. going to preach, if I can, by the help of God, listen, wait for it and go. We've heard preaching today about waiting. And I thought these boys going to preach what I had to say. But notice here, Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king. He is the most powerful man in the country at that time. Here we find that Nehemiah and his people, the Jews, are in captivity in the land of Babylon. And their hometown, Jerusalem, is burned. It's destroyed. Its walls are broken down. And here we find that Nehemiah hears and his heart is broken. He weeps, and the Bible said he prayed for 4 months for God to do the impossible. I just want to say that my God is able to do the impossible. He wanted God to deliver his people. He wanted God to rebuild the walls, set the temple and the city. Now Nehemiah not only knew that he needed to watch and pray, he not only knew that he could weep and pray, but Nehemiah found out that a man needs to wait and pray. Wait on God. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is wait. I don't like to wait. Men get the horn cussing when they wait, don't they? Amen. But here, I don't like to wait. We get something in our heart. God begins to move on our heart. And we want to rush right out. And we want to get it done. We want to make it happen our way. But the Bible said we should wait on God. We need to wait on Him and pray. Dear friend, we need to wait and pray first on the things of God. Now, I don't tell you, there's nothing we can do until we pray. You just as well quit. You just as well get up. Give it up. But, dear friend, there's going to be much to do after we pray, but not until we pray. A lot of times we want to do it ourselves. Now, Nehemiah knew in his heart what he wanted to do. He was satisfied about what he wanted. And now Nehemiah gets down to business and starts praying and asking his God to do the impossible. And God specializes in that. Now, here's something very important you and I need to realize about this story. It had just been a few years earlier that the king had sent a group back to rebuild Jerusalem. And that group went back and started building. But word got back to the king. And here he finds that there's a bunch of insurrectionists that are over there. They want to get away from the king. They don't want anything to do with him. And the king, their friend, went and brought them back and tore down what had been built. And then a decree was made. And a decree said this, that it would never, ever be rebuilt again. Now that's what Nehemiah's up against. That's what he's facing. Friend, it was really an impossible task that Nehemiah is faced with. But you know, my God delights in doing big things. I'm glad, thank God, he can take care of it. He'll show himself to be God. He'll show himself to be all-powerful and faithful in our life. I thought about the story. A man found an old rusty lamp. And he began to rub it and polish it up. And out comes a genie. And the genie said, I've got a lot of power. I've got all power. And I can fulfill whatever wish you might have. Just tell me what you want me to do, and I can do it. And the man thought about it for a moment. And he said this. He said, well, genie, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly. And he said, what I'd like for you to do is to build me a road from the mainland to Hawaii. Well, the genie got to thinking. He said, I might have said things a little hasty. I might have got ahead of myself. He said, is there anything else that you want me to do? He said, that's just too hard for me to do. And he said, all right. He said, you know, genie, I've always wanted to understand women. He said, I've always wanted to know how women think. He said, I really would like to know what makes them tick. I'd like to know what pleases them, what causes their moods. And the genie looked at him and he said, do you want a two-lane or a four-lane? Hey, man, some things are just too hard for the genie. But I want to say today, friend, there's nothing that's too big for my God. He can do whatever. Now 120 days have gone by. Nehemiah's been praying. Nehemiah's watching. Nehemiah's weeping. And he is waiting in prayer on God to do the impossible. Now here in chapter 2, we find here that this book is a story. It's one of the greatest success stories in human history. How God works. Dear friend, God wants you to succeed. God doesn't want you to fail. God doesn't want you to miss it. God wants you to succeed. Now the Bible word for succeed is to prosper. I'm not talking about this TV evangelist prosperity. I'm talking about in God, in a biblical way. God wants you and I to prosper in the things of God. Now success, we think about success. It is finding and doing the will of God for our life. That's success. When you find what God wants you to do, when you find what God has planned for your life, dear friend, that's success. I realize we think about these things in our day-to-day, what the world calls successful. Dear friend, God calls a failure. Yes, sir. The world may look at you and say, what a failure. But God will take a look at you and say, what a success. We're God's children. Success is finding and doing the will of God for your life. Now notice here. Nehemiah verbalized his goal at the proper time. He told the king at the proper time. Now you think about today in Bible times. Here this man, friend, is a cupbearer. And it was common in the day of Nehemiah that somebody that displeased the king could be assassinated. They could kill you. One way it happened was through poisoning. You could poison a king. you could get rid of. Now, it was the cupbearer's job. He tasted the drink and tasted the food. And if he didn't keel over dead, then the king could eat and drink. But on this particular day, it must have been very obvious to the king, because Nehemiah was very burdened. He was carrying the load. He's waiting on God for the right time that God would work things out in this great task. And so he's troubled. And here the king realizes, now here's a man that's been fasting for 120 days. His eyes are red. Your friend's cheeks are sunken in. And here he's a man that's just about used up all his energy. He's exhausted in what's going on in his life. Verse number 2 said the king notices. The king looks at him. I mean, you think about it. And at the end of that verse, the Bible said Nehemiah is sore afraid. He's afraid that the king's going to put him to death. That's a capital offense. I mean, you wasn't even allowed to show sadness in the presence of the king. The king could have had him put to death just for being sad. Boy, I wish our church members knew that. Amen. I mean, think about it. He could have been executed just for having a sad face. Amen. On this day, Nehemiah, he just couldn't hide it any longer. I mean, it is showing. Why not? Because this is in God's perfect timing. God's about to do something. Had not God orchestrated this event perfectly, Ephraim Nehemiah would have probably been killed. He'd have been put to death. It'd have been over. But every day, for 120 days, Nehemiah would pray for God to open the door and work a miracle. And you talk about an open door. God gave him an open door. God used the king. Nehemiah didn't even have to ask him anything. Nehemiah was asked of the king, what's bothering you? Not only did he ask him what's going on and what's bothering him, he said, how can I help you? Nehemiah was verbalizing his goal, even though he's scared. When God opened the door, Nehemiah jumped right in. And dear friend, he didn't mince his words. He speaks up and he tells the king, and he takes a stand on what he needs. But not only that, but Nehemiah verbalized his goal with a prayerful spirit. Now this is that quick era style of prayers. I mean, he didn't have time to do a lot of praying right now. He'd been praying for 120 days. I mean, he'd been praying in private. He'd been praying his heart out for 120 days. And now the opportunity is in front of him. And dear friend, you could just imagine. Oh, Nehemiah looked up and said a prayer, and then God added. If I want to say, that's how it works sometimes. Amen. You might notice me every once in a while. I might hesitate, look up. If I'm trying to pray and ask God to help me. Praying, God, help us in this walk of life. It might be that I just lift up my eyes toward heaven and say, God, wake them up. First church I pastored, this is the truth. First church I pastored, I had a fella that slept every Sunday. We had a gravel parking lot. And I got up one Sunday, and I said, I was young. I didn't have any tact about me at all. I got up one Sunday, and I said, I am tired of people sleeping while I'm trying to preach the Word of God. I said, next Sunday, I'm going to get out of my car, get me a handful of gravel, put them in my pocket, and I'll rock the first one that goes to sleep. So help me. The next Sunday, the church met in conference and they voted to pave the parking lot. Sometimes you don't have time to pray long prayers, but if you're going to pray a quickie prayer, it, dear friend, better be followed up by a long time of private prayer where you pray unto God Almighty. Hear Nehemiah. Dear friend, thank God. Here he is, and he's a-praying. He lift up here. He said, God, don't let me blow it now. And he begins to pray. And then Nehemiah verbalized his goal in this powerful statement. The last five words in verse 5, he said, that I may build it. Amen. The Beatles, George Harrison, wrote a song. And in that song it says this: if you don't know where you're going, any road you take, it will be fine. No, he said, if you don't know where you're going, I can't read today. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. In Alice in Wonderland, when Alice came to a fork in the road and didn't know which way to go, the cat says, well, where are you going? She said, I don't really know where I'm going. He replied, then it doesn't matter which road you take if you don't know where you're going. You ought to have some goals spelled out. Sometimes it takes the help of others. The king helped. Her friend, he told the king, he said, that I may build it. Nehemiah knew it'd be tough. He knew there'd be many challenges. What goals should you let God drop into your heart for your spiritual life, for your family, for your home, for your business, for your ministry? Amen. Now, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit nothing. I've had people tell me for years, preacher, I'm aiming. I'm aiming to be faithful to church. I'm aiming to tithe. I'm aiming to do good. I told them, I said, quit aiming and pull the trigger. We need to get excited. Let's get focused. Let's get together. Let's get busy. Let's get on board. Let's get faithful. And let's go to it. Some of us need to set some goals. But first we need to pray. And then we need to wait. And then go. May God help us in this walk of life that we might live and serve Him. I appreciate the Lord, don't you?
Yes, sir.
God's been good to us. He's blessed us in so many ways. And I thank Him for it. God bless you.